Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
Now for something completely different.
Happy hour. Happy hour.
Please don't be offended. He's sorry in advance.
He never holds back. He speaks his mind.
It's time to turn Happy on. RyanHappyRadio.com.
At Ryan Happy Radio.
You're listening to the one and only Ghost on the Ox podcast.
I do a lot of guest episodes with like local artists and DJs and musicians and whatnot over my area. It's been a lot of fun.
I feel that.
How did you get started?
Is this live?
It is now. Welcome to Ghost in the Ox.
Oh my God.
This is the cold open I'm known for. Infamous. So welcome to Ghost in the Ox. I don't know what episode this is because that's how I do the show.
I was about to say, when are we going to begin recording? I was like, you're talking to me off air. I didn't know we were live.
We are live right now. We're not live live.
No, I got you.
Recording. I'm going to edit this. But no.
I think that was beautiful. I had no idea.
Thank you. I like to like just start like ease into a, like a legitimate conversation.
Yes.
And then just start recording and then that's it. Welcome to Ghost in the Ox. What's Devin. Up? With me today is, introduce yourself.
I'm Ryan Hoppy. I work in radio. Been around for a while. I'm tall.
He is tall. That is a true statement. I'm going to get this out of the way in the beginning because, you know, algorithm things, you know how it is. Follow the podcast on Twitter, on Threads, on Instagram, all Ghost in the Ox. There's also a Patreon. There's one subscriber on there. Shout out to Jill. Thank you.
Threads sucks.
Threads is kind of ass. Yeah, I will agree with you. I still have it though, and
I haven't been on it in like 6 weeks.
So you got on it when it opened, and then you're like,
I'm like number 54 million or whatever.
Yeah.
It's terrible. Oh, you were a little younger than me, but do you remember Google Plus?
Yes.
It's Google Plus. It's the same garbage. It's terrible. That was just Mark Zuckerberg trying to like flex, like, oh, I can make my own Twitter. It sucked. There was no point to it.
I'm 42,860,876.
Damn, you beat me by 12 million.
Well, as soon as it came out, I was skeptical of it because I was like, is this actually going to, like, how likely is it to legitimately compete?
It's not competing. No one's talking about it.
Right.
And then like the third week it was around, the news was like, it's down 40%. It's like, because it sucks.
Right. They had this huge start where it's like 100 million, 120 million, whatever, like users, which is number one already kind of bogus because more than half of those people, probably 80, 90% of those people are coming from Instagram. So they already were on
To begin with. For sure.
So it's like kind of like a fake thing to brag about.
And then it was attached to your account. If you want to get rid of your Threads account, you had to get rid of your Instagram account.
Which is lame. It's stupid. Yeah. And on top of that, it immediately got flooded with just brands and like botted meme accounts that all just repost each other's shit.
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of like inspirational quotes. I was like, okay, so we're on Twitter, which is fine. But I was just like, what is this?
Go back to Facebook.
This is terrible.
Just, inspirational shit like that just makes me think Facebook.
Well, there's like 600 people I follow on Twitter, and it's everybody from like radio people to like NBA highlights on Threads. I was seeing like people from Facebook I didn't know, and I'm like, why do I want to see you? I don't know you. This is dumb. I'm glad we're friends on Facebook, but I don't want to see you on like a Twitter platform. I don't care about your problems.
For me, it was on Threads. It was kind of similar but different where it was I saw people that I cared about, but I also got, because of how young Threads was at the time.
Yes.
What still is. they didn't really have like, you couldn't filter what your feed was, and your feed, I think it's still like this. Your feed is just random bullshit from anyone.
Yes.
And I don't care. Like, I don't need to see Slim Jim's fucking Threads account tweeting about mommy milkers and
I know.
Like, shit posting. I don't need to see this random celebrity who I don't follow on my page.
That's what was annoying, was just people I wasn't following. And I was like, why are you showing me this? Who is this influencer? I don't care.
I don't. Yeah. I just want to see, I want to see the stuff from people I actually follow. So before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about radio industry stuff, about technology and whatnot. I wanted, so to explain to my audience a little bit, people who listen now, who didn't listen in the past, hopefully that old podcast doesn't exist anymore, because it's probably cringy. Because I was a child, not a child, but I was underage. We got in touch years ago, probably 2016.
Yeah, I would say so.
Because I used to live in the Tampa area for my middle school years, and then went to high school in Daytona Beach. And when I moved and I went to high school, I actually started a podcast then. And you were one of the first people. You were actually my first ever interview.
Oh, wow.
That I ever did, ever, period.
Sorry.
Well, it was good. It was good. I don't know if I have those files or if those are around anywhere.
I don't need to hear it. I was a child, too.
I hope they're not around. And if they are, I'm going to find them.
22. I don't need to hear that.
I'm 23 now.
I'm the same age, whatever. You know the math. I'm the same age that you were.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
I'm slightly older than you were when I first talked to you.
Yeah, and you were like 14, Jesus Christ.
I was like 15 or 16, yeah.
What, you're born in the year 2000?
No, 99.
Good. I don't like 2000s. Like, when someone says they're born in 99, I'm like, that's acceptable. But when it's 2000,
that's
I'm like...
That's the cutoff.
I'm like, ugh.
I'm telling you, I take so much pride in that. I flex that every time when I'm with my age group. I'm like, 2002? Nah, I can't...
1900s, here I am.
Yeah, I just barely made it.
You're acceptable. 2000s... Man, it's frightening. Like sometimes I'll like see people like when I'm on Facebook, I'm just curious to see how old people are because I'm weird. So I'll go on their profile and it'll be like February 2nd, 2000. And I'm like, I was in first grade. I was like, fuck me.
it makes you feel old, right?
Yeah. And then what's even worse is like the 04 babies that are like, oh yeah. Like I totally know everything because I'm on ChatGPT and Wikipedia. I'm just like, dude, 10 years ago, I knew nothing at age 20. I don't know where all this wisdom of this next generation, like they're watching all these TikToks and they think they know everything. I'm like, no, I don't know anything. And I'm 10 years older than you.
I think that came from just, because I was actually talking about this on a different podcast recently.
Yeah, what is it?
It's that, I think it's the abundance of information that we have available to us has made people lazy. They don't have to know things. They just have to barely know how to find things. And so they're just walking around empty headed until something comes up. Okay, let me look that up. And then when they look it up, they're fed some bullshit information that's not even accurate.
I like ChatGPT, but I also don't because it's so good. I'm like, why are humans here? What are we providing?
Well, like Joe Rogan says, we're the sex organs of the machine world.
It's frightening. It's bad, man. I've typed in a lot of information. I'll just type in a lot of things on ChatGPT, and it'll just give me the best advice. And I'm like, this is not good. This is not good. Remember when, like, you're a little younger, but like 15, 16, 17 years ago, you'd talk to like a robot on AIM, and it'd be like, what's for dinner tonight?
I remember Cleverbot.
Yeah, something like that. And now it's like giving you like, I've typed in all these things I'm working on with my podcast and it came up with better ideas than I came up with. And I was like,
really? Oh.
And when I worked in sports radio for 9 months, I had to come up with all these ideas for these bits. And it was a lifesaver. For 9 months, I pretended to know about sports. And then at some point I got exposed. I watch sports, but I don't know sports.
And once a casual viewer.
Yeah, and then once the race season began and I had to write these blog posts about like baseball, I was like, I'm done. Mm. Like, I don't know anything about baseball. Football, I know enough that I can make it work.
You can bullshit your way through it.
Yeah, but baseball, man, no, I can't.
I played sports when I was younger, like elementary, middle school age range.
Yes.
I quit when I went into high school. But even when I was playing, I was never into watching it. I never got caught into like sitting down and watching games.
Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Yeah, I'm from Chicago. There's nothing else to do but watch sports in the winter. So that's kind of the connection. Or like a hot summer day when there's nothing to do and like the White Sox are on. It's like a vibe.
Yeah.
It's kind of dying a little bit because like now there's TikTok. We got to think like 25, 30 years ago when there was nothing, you would have 7 TV channels and you were kind of forced to go between like Jerry Springer or the 1 p.m. game.
Yeah. I'd probably watch Jerry Springer.
It's crazy. I met him.
You met Jerry Springer?
6 months ago. What? He came by iHeartMedia for a tour of the Ybor City Parade or whatever. And it was one of his last appearances ever. And I went up to him and I said, I loved your show, but my mom thinks you're an imbecile. And I made him laugh so hard. And then he died like a month later. And then this girl I knew was like, I think you had one of the last really deep moments with Jerry Springer. I was like, that's weird.
That's interesting.
Because he didn't really do much. He kind of died after that. And he was walking around the building. He looked old. Like he was himself and he was delightful.
He's
a very delightful man.
When did the show end?
10 years ago, 8 years ago. They got kicked out of Chicago. When they were in their prime, they were recording at the NBC Towers, but they were having like naked women running around the hallway and people were complaining when things got a little less 90s. So then you think he went to Connecticut because it's really cheap to record there. And that was the death of it. Because when he was in Chicago, there's a lot of pieces of garbage in Chicago. I'm not saying there's not in Connecticut, but you got to think people are more willing to go to Chicago for a day to be on Jerry Springer. So there was more idiots. And Chicago's got like 10 million people or something. I like Jerry Springer. I think he was better than like, Mathis, Wilkos. Wilkos is creepy because he like tries to mentor people while exploiting them. I'm like, you can't do both. If you were going to mentor them, you wouldn't have them on TV.
What do you think about Dr. Phil in that same
piece of fucking shit? I hate him. I hate anybody that comes from the Oprah coaching tree. Him, Dr. Oz, they're all assholes.
Dr. Phil has a unique place in my mind.
I hate him.
because he does the same thing. Like you said, he's exploiting people and trying to mentor at the same time or trying to be like psychiatrist or whatever.
You were like 3 when he came out, but I remember when he came out in like 02, 03 and he got his own TV show.
Yeah.
And everybody's mom watched it. And I was like, this is garbage.
I grew up with it because my grandma watched it.
Garbage.
And my grandma was a big Oprah fan. My grandma watched Dr. Phil. My grandfather watched all the like judge shows, like Judge Judy.
My mom watched all. My mom watched People's Court.
People's Court. He watched that too.
Yes.
Judge Joe Brown.
Yeah. It's crazy because with Dr. Phil, he really exploited Cash Me Outside.
Yes.
And I was looking at her Snapchat the other day. She's a grown ass woman.
She is
a grown ass woman. It is weird. She's like out on a date with this rapper eating sushi. I'm like,
her story is weird.
Her story is very strange.
It's like very strange. Being a little delinquent and being on Dr. Phil and blowing up.
And then having like Gen X radio dudes drool over you.
Yeah.
The whole thing was bizarre. It was very uncomfortable.
Well, that's very weird. That's the thing that happens to all young women in entertainment.
Well, think about Mary-Kate and Ashley. Every radio show, this is before my time, but I hear they had like the countdown. Until they turned 18, I'm like, Jesus.
Did that with Emma Watson too, with Harry Potter.
Oh God,
I wasn't around for that. Like, I didn't see it firsthand.
I hear all about it. You hear in those Me Too documentaries, not good.
So let's rewind a little bit because now we're kind of talking about it. But I want to get into like, what was your trajectory getting started in radio industry?
I always wanted to do it. In the early 2000s, I didn't have TV because my mom was super religious. So we had like DVDs and that. But the radio was the only way I was getting information about 9/11. Mm. So I was like listening to it a lot. And then I stopped getting political around like third or fourth grade. So there was a lot of funny radio shows in Chicago that I listened to.
Wait. So I'm sorry.
You're fine.
I might cut you off a few times to ask you questions. So the religiousness made her not want to have TV in the house?
Yeah, she got caught stealing cable from the next door neighbor in like 2000. And in like 1999, 98, I'd watch Blue's Clues in the morning Scooby-Doo. And then she would like watch like the Rosie O'Donnell show and all these shows. And this was like early Showtime before there were shows. And she would just watch every movie. And she realized that she was never neglecting me, but she was watching a lot of TV. So then she just had like a crisis and just cut everything.
But she kept the DVD collection.
Yeah, and that was always controversial because I wanted to watch Family Guy and Adult Swim. And my dad was super religious and none of that worked. Their whole parenting of trying to prevent adult cartoons and sex made me into a slutty Adult Swim fan. I mean,
That's what happens.
It failed. They literally failed at that aspect. They made me a good person and whatever, but I don't have the morals of the Catholic cult.
Oh, they're Catholic?
Oh, yeah.
Catholics are like my least favorite religion.
Oh, it's awful.
They're so bad.
It's terrible.
Because I look at Catholicism as being like the most try hard religion ever.
And they're
like
so judgmental. They claim to be so loving.
I say try hard because like technically, like historically, they were the church. They were the main thing. But if you look at it like on a religious level of like the Bible and like all that stuff, they're the most like fake one.
Yeah, they're very awful to people, but then they go like, oh, but God's plan or whatever. I'm just like, shut up.
And they just make shit up. Oh, you can pay to redeem your sins, you know?
Yeah, give us money.
Yeah, give the church money.
Even though we have no taxes, so we can just launder everywhere.
We have no overhead.
We have nothing. We never have to do our taxes or anything. Churches are ridiculous. I'm not a fan. I know somebody that's going to be a priest, and I'm like, have at it, dude. It's weird.
See, I sympathize, and I like feel good for people when they turn their life around and they're going on like a better path for themselves and whatever, if that includes religion for them. However, I've never been a fan of, I'm a fan of people having like a spiritual awakening, but when it's religious, that's a different story. Cause like religion is like culty.
It just makes you very judgmental of people for no reason. It's like, you're not any different. Yeah. Like it makes no sense. Cause then they come home and they're like all inspired to be a good person. But then you like meet someone who's like either gay transgender, and then they're like, those losers, and that's not the word they use. Those losers can burn in hell with their sissy attitude. I'm like, but you were just at church saying how good of a person you are. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm tired of it. It's very prominent in the Midwest. Like, I had a family member say, oh, people that use pronouns are satanic. Satan's not real. So shut the fuck up. I'm tired. I'm over it. Like if it ends up being real, I will go to purgatory forever. Okay.
I'm a bit more on the skeptical side of what is real and what's not.
I don't believe in any of it. I think it's all nonsense. It's all human fiction. It's fan fiction.
Or not believe. I'm just kind of in the middle partially because of my psychedelic experiences that I've had. It's revealed a lot to me personally.
Yeah, it's revealed to me that it's all fake.
To me, it's opened my eyes to be. Because I felt that way for a long time.
Yes.
So I grew up in a Christian, and then it morphed from Christian to Messianic Jewish household. So my family like had a conversion, and so I grew up in that.
Yes.
But when I became my own sentient adult that can make my own decisions and critically think about that stuff, I started to believe a lot less in all that thing and all those things. But then psychedelics came into my life and I started thinking, you know, just based on like experiences I've had, I started to think, you know, maybe it's not the Christian God. Maybe it's not the Jewish God. Maybe it's not the Muslim God. Maybe it's not, I don't know. I feel like there's something. I feel like there's something not physical that's going on.
I want to get to your level, but I'm not there. I just think it's nothing. I don't believe in it. I think it's all just fiction. It's no different than Harry Potter.
I think there is. I think the fact, see, here's why I'm skeptical, because I think human fiction has corrupted what little might have been true.
I just don't think there's anything looking over us right now. I don't think there's something up there. It's like, oh yeah, we're condemning what they're saying. Or I remember it was so weird. This is a little raunchy. When my grandpa died like 13 years ago, I was like afraid to like jerk off. I was like, he's watching me.
Yeah.
No, he's not.
I still feel that way sometimes where I'm like, I'm beating off and I'm like,
oh no, my
y'all
family.
Stop looking at me.
If there is.
Why y'all looking at me? Y'all did the same thing. Come on now.
If there is some heavenly place, which there's not, they've watched a lot of debauchery from the last 10 years. I'll tell you right now. It's a lot. I mean, we measured my penis on the radio twice. Like they're up there watching it from heaven. Like, yes, you're welcome. you're welcome. Even though it's not real, so we have nothing to worry about. But the slight 1% chance that it is, they saw everything.
So you grew up in that type of household, no TV. You're obsessed with radio because of the local shows.
Yes.
And continue from there.
So I graduated high school in 2012. I hated every second of it. Right when I graduated high school, I began doing a podcast. Then I did a community college radio show at Harper College for about 6 months. It wasn't very good. All the videos are private. So then from like March.
And were these also the same branding as you use now? Or
it was like the Hoppy show.
Okay.
I didn't do Hoppy Hour until I moved here. So then from 2013, like March till about August, I was just recording in my room while like partying with my friends at age 19 and not going to class. And then I went to a radio convention in Chicago 10 years ago called the Morning Show Bootcamp. And they were all like, oh, you got to get an internship. And the only way to get an internship was you had to be in college. So my mom took me and got me into a radio trade school called the Illinois Center for Broadcasting. Now it's Illinois Media School. And I went there for a year, had all these internship hours. I interned at an EDM radio show and I did a bunch of freelance things and I did an overnight show in Chicago. So then I tried out for a show called Rover's Morning Glory in Cleveland, was on it for 3 months, and then I got fired for getting blackout drunk on St. Patrick's Day, even though everybody else gets drunk, but that was whatever.
Was it on the air?
No, it was at a bar crawl. Like I wasn't innocent. Like I smoked a doobie in front of the bosses. Like I was, when I tell you I was turning up, I was 21 and I was on the biggest show in a decently big city. So it's like the fame got to my head.
You were turning up.
I don't remember any of the weekends. Every weekend I blacked out.
Yeah.
I would wake up on my couch and be like, do I have my wallet? Like it was, I drank a lot in Cleveland. So then I moved, I worked in Cleveland from like January to St. Patrick's Day 2015. And then I was working, making more as a janitor at LA Fitness.
What?
And what happened was people were filming me like working and sending it to Rover. So then Rover was talking about, yeah, he went from being on the biggest show in this city, because he doesn't want to say that he's in Cleveland. So he has it as, in this home market, Ryan Hoppy went from being on the biggest show to cleaning toilets, even though I was making more. So then people were filming me. So then I'm like, I got to get out of here. So then Rob, who used to be on the Michael at the show.
Wait, I'm sorry. So you were on the air and you got fired and then you got that job?
And then I was making more. I was working like 12-hour days and working from like 1 p.m. to 11. And then I would go out drinking from like 11 to 3. And then, people were reporting around town. Oh, I saw Ryan drunk at this bar. And Rover's acting like a voice of reason, even though he shoved an undercover cop a year prior. He's like, yeesh, Ryan Hoppy has a drinking problem and will never work in radio again. So then I had a lot of motivation in my heart. So I hit up Rob, who worked for Rover. And then he was working at Cal at the show. So then I got a promotions job and I broke my lease and got out of Cleveland. And the moment I drove by the skyline and I just didn't see it anymore, I was like, goodbye, never going back. It's not a bad city, but it's very, there's not a lot to do. So they really get into their local celebrities. Like local, everybody knew who I was. It was frightening. It was weird. People would be like, oh yeah, Hoppy was at Aldi's buying Rice Krispies. And I was like,
this is news?
I was.
Is entertainment for y'all?
My mom gets really manic when she's proud of me. So she was at Walmart bragging about me. And Rover doesn't like when people talk about being on his show unless it's about him. So then this woman called in and was like, I was the cashier last night at Walmart. And I think I met Ryan Hoppy's mom. And I was like, oh God, you're a bitch. Whoever you are. So yeah, that was pretty much the beginning.
And then, so you moved here.
So then, yeah. And I moved here and then I worked at the Bone for 7 years. Then I did sports radio for 9 months. And now I call myself the jack of all trades. I'm at Beasley Media Group, which is like Wild 94.1, 98.7 to Shark, Q105 and QIK.
And what do you do? What is like your actual like job there?
I do production. I work in a promotions department. I do pretty much anything. If they're like, hey, we need Hoppy for something, they call me in.
Okay.
It's cool.
So literally jack of all trades, just whatever they need.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I wasn't going to put promotions assistant because that's not what I am.
Right.
But I got in through the promotions department, but they're like, Just keep your head down, keep grinding, and we'll give you opportunities. Like, I got to work with the MJ Morning Show for a month, and that was cool. I learned a lot from him. I see Orlando every day. Like, it's cool. It's not your typical promotions job.
What is promotions?
It's like setting up tents and helping out the talent. And it's a good way to network. Because I've had people, I'm venting, but I've had people like message me that are douchebags. And they're like, you literally did a lateral move of leaving the Bone and then going to sports radio. And now you're in promotion. It's like, but I, even though I was at the top working at the Bone, quote unquote, the top or whatever, I wasn't allowed to record my podcast at work. And then I wasn't allowed on air. So even though I was working with the biggest shows in town, it was like,
they're kind of gatekeeping you a little bit.
Yeah. And then it's like, at least with Beasley, yeah, I'm working outside carrying tents, but I've also made my podcast bigger than ever because I've been able to like record whenever. Mm-hmm. Even at iHeart, God bless iHeart, but they were like, you can only record on Saturdays because we don't want you to get into the way of people that are making money for the company. And that's fine and all, but Cox Media and iHeart were like, yeah, don't really do your thing. Only do what we want you to do. Beasley's been more like, hey, if you want to do this, just show up. Do your thing of promotions, take your pictures, do what you got to do, and you can use, it's almost like
as long as you stay on the ball.
It's like a reward or something. It's like, you grind your ass off for us, and we'll let you do this.
It's a bit of a scratch my back, we'll scratch yours type of thing.
Yeah.
A bit.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess that's good. That's a better
That's
situation.
What I'm saying. Yeah. And then when I get messages from people, I'm just like, you don't even know anything. You're just sitting in traffic listening to a radio show. You don't know the ins and outs. Like, I couldn't, let's say that person that critiques me is a welder. I couldn't critique them on how to weld.
Right.
Stay in your lane. Shut up. You don't know.
Well, I think talking on the radio seems to the average person seems, not that it is, but it seems like an easier job because they don't.
It's frightening.
Because everybody can talk.
Well,
not everybody can talk and be entertaining.
Well, the problem, the big problem is that you get comfortable and you start to say everything on air. Mm. And when you leave the job, everybody knows who you are, but then like knows everything you've ever done. So then it's kind of like.
It follows you.
It does. In a way, people will come up to me and bring up something we did on air, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Because like sometimes, because I live on a busy road, and I'll like look at the cars driving by, and I'm like, because I lived at this apartment for, not this exact one, but this complex for 3 years. And I remember I would be working at the Bone, and I'd be coming home, and there'd be like three people that were like painting houses, listening to the Bone. And I'd be like, they just heard me. Like, it was weird. There were weird moments like that.
Yeah, I mean, like even on a much smaller scale that I'm at, I've had a couple of situations where people I've never met have like listened to the show. Like, for example, a friend of mine went on a date with a girl
yes.
at the beach, and they were talking about stuff they're into, hobbies, interests, whatever. The girl says, oh, I've been listening to this local podcast by so-and-so. And he asks, oh, what's it called? Ghost in the Ox.
The Kava community.
And he's like, that's my friend. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. And he tells me about it. I'm like, oh, that's very strange. Some girl I've never met, no idea who she is. Because most of my audience, a lot of my audience is like just by word of mouth. So
me too. It's, what is it? What type of marketing is it? Guerrilla marketing, whatever it's called?
I guess so.
It's, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too.
Grassroots.
I did an episode. I laid it all on the line. I was so fed up with the Kava community.
Yeah, I just listened
to it. I have no regrets. But I was like, damn, I said a lot. Like, I was just, I'm done. You're actually, drinking a plant.
Relax. No, actually, I wanted to talk to you about that too because I'm also kind of part of the Kava community on the east side.
Yeah.
Stewart,
tell me.
Stewart, Florida area. You are spot on with all of your criticisms.
Well, it's just something I observe. I go every day.
It is the same shit over there.
It's the high school. I'm not trying to be old man on the front lawn in a rocking chair critiquing the next generation. I swear I'm not trying to come off like that. But ever since like 2018, 19, 20, I'd say 2021, all of the 2000s babies that just turned 21, they know everything.
They
walk into the Kava bar and they got all the wisdom on how to be a stoic because they watched the Ryan Holiday video for 5 minutes and they know everything about life. And they're like judging the elder millennials. Like they'll like laugh at us for turning 30. And I'm like, you're going to blink and those 9 years are going to go by and I'm going to be almost 40 and you're going to be 30. And then you're going to be looking back and going, man, how are the 2010 babies now becoming 20. It happens to everybody. And the cockiness of these kids, I'm like, God bless you. If that's what you need to do, they miss high school. And I think one thing that messed
them
up is I think COVID messed up their high school experience. Yes. So they're trying to continue it.
Yes. They didn't have like a closing chapter. They didn't have like a proper closing chapter to their high school year.
Because I'm telling you, class of 2012, 2013, 2014, at least for me, I was glad it was over. I was like, goodbye. I didn't go to my 10 year. I got invited. I was like, God bless you guys. I never want to see you again.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of the same boat. Like, I've never been on this mindset of, oh, if I could go back to high school, I'd love to relive that. No.
If you peaked in, forward. If you peaked in high school, you're a loser. I'm sorry. Yes, high school sucked. Now, it wasn't bad.
I think it's okay to peak in high school as long as you are building to a new peak now.
But if you're living in the past or bringing that same habits to a kava bar,
right?
I would hear people talking about me and then come up to me and be like, how's the podcast? I'm like, shut up. I don't care. Shut up. I have ears everywhere. People tell me. And I hear other things like you'll be at a kava bar and someone will be like talking shit about this one dude. Oh, he's a misogynist and a sexist. And then you take a picture with him.
Right.
And it's like,
that guy comes in 10 minutes and later and everybody's then, hugging him and like, and what's
that,
up?
That guy finds out. I have this one friend who's in the kava community who is the whistleblower. He told me that Ian Beckles was talking bad about me. He told me all these things. And sometimes I don't need to know. Like, it's good to know that someone you consider a mentor is telling people not to hire you as a podcast producer. So I was like, thank you for letting me know about Ian. But other things like that, I was like, I don't need to know that this 20-year-old is talking shit about me.
Yeah, I think the only gossip that's like...
I hate gossip.
I hate... Gossip is stupid, but...
Pointless.
The one area in which it's valuable is in a professional level, like you're saying, where you hear somebody in the industry is talking about you in a negative light. It's kind of good to know that so that you know how to act moving forward, how to potentially navigate that situation or get away, separate yourself from it or whatever.
You have to. If you are doing work for the next generation and they're mad that you want more, they're only using you for you to do their bitch work. Mm-hmm. A true mentor or a true friend would not care if you become more successful than them.
They'd be happy.
Or want to be them. But they're just using you for free labor.
Yeah.
That's got the hiccups.
That's okay. but you're spot on. Because we had a situation. You know what? I don't mind calling it out at this point. Because like, it's about a month or and a half removed now. My buddy Trey and I, he's a regular on the podcast. He's one of my cast members, co-hosts, a good friend of mine. We work together on a business level. We host open mics together. He and I were working at, you want to talk about the kava community. A kava community in East Coast is probably similar here. It's very unnecessarily cutthroat business-wise. When the whole allure like that they try to sell you is that, oh, we're all a community and like, you know, good vibes, bula, you know, all that stuff. But no, it's very cutthroat and gossipy, very clicky, very high schooly. And so we were doing an open mic for like 9 months at this location.
Yeah.
I'll tell the details without saying the place, just at a professional.
I know the place, right?
Yes. I told you about it.
Yeah.
Just out of professional courtesy, I'll just not say the place or the name of the person. But people who know, they know. Because I've talked about it in the past already. But anyways, we were doing open mics there for like 9 months. We brought them new faces. We brought them new business. We helped them organize new shows besides our own, besides the open mics. We helped bring in like DJs to have events there and all this stuff. And then the very moment that we get an offer to do an open mic at another location, the owner immediately turns on us. He's like, this is never happening again. I'm not allowing it. He starts turning into a fucking high school kid and starts talking shit about us behind our back to other patrons of the bar.
Yeah.
Like customers. They don't need to know about all this. It's not their business. That's number one. Number two is a lot of those patrons he's talking shit to are our friends too and people that follow us around.
That's what happened to me was people were talking shit about me. And it was nonsense. It made absolutely no sense. People were talking about me so I worked for sports radio for 9 months and they had me resign so I can work at the company in the future, but I was kind of fired. It was just, I didn't know enough about baseball and I was never the producer that Pat and Aaron wanted, and there was always tension because the company wanted me to produce the morning show.
Yeah, how did, well, okay, let's backtrack a little bit. How did that? If you were not really into sports,
was sick of. It's nothing against them. They took it so personally. They took it so personally. But I reached my point at the bone. Uh-huh. I did it all, and then I was told, like, we don't really want you to do happy hour on air. I was like, okay, then I'm not going to continue to do weekends for the rest of my life, because I was working 4 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday and then 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sundays, and I did everything. And then it was like, oh, well, we're not going to reward you with a show or even let you use the podcast room. I go, that's great. And Kelta took such offense to it, and I was like, it's not about you. It was never about you. I enjoyed working on your show. He got so mad. I was like, bro.
Took offense to you leaving?
Yeah, and I'll just say it. Like, I don't even know if I want to say it.
Say what you want, and then after the fact, we
can I was told, if you have to go somewhere, this is all I'll say. I was told, if you have to go somewhere else to make more money or to get a better opportunity, I completely have your back. So I do that, and then I get I don't even know what the word is. I get put on blast on air, and I'm like, yes, that's what I'm looking for. And I'm like, if only you heard the conversation that I had for an hour with this man in May 2022, and August happens, and I go, come on now. I went, really? That's how we're going to play that? Dumb.
Two-Face.
You know how many girls, man, it was cool to tell. First of all, never dated a radio fan. Mm. Never. You can bang a radio fan and have never locked down a radio fan, because once you leave that radio job, I know you're into anime. When your girlfriends view you and your life as an anime, it's more about what you can provide.
So they were looking at you as like a character in a sense, rather than just who you are.
Looking back on it, yes.
Looking at you almost like a caricature of who you are.
Yeah, like literally.
They're looking at you as radio personality, radio individual Ryan, rather than Ryan.
And my ex literally was a face painter. She was literally an artist, and she's very talented. So it was literally painting a picture of this grandioso tall boyfriend, blah, blah, blah. But then there's also Ryan, and Ryan got sick of getting up at 3:30 on Saturday mornings. And my whole 20s, my whole prime was spent producing fishing radio shows, which is fine, but I'm here now. All the work, bro, it's almost a little defeating. I'm so proud of what I accomplished at the Bone, and I don't care what people say, but you put so much thought into it and you think it matters. Like, you wake up in a panic attack, like, oh, are things going to be timed out properly, or is the next show going to be, and it doesn't matter. None of it. And you look back on it and you go, all the anxiety, all the sweaty hands, all the going to bed properly, it was all for nothing. Even if you go on to have the biggest show, it's all for nothing. Because it's like, you got to have yourself first. If your radio show or your podcast is who you are, you almost get screwed a little bit. Because then when that ends, you lose the relationships that were only with you for that. Because then if you're just the everyday average Joe, then it's like, well, come on.
I think that's a common thread with entertainment industry stuff in general, where like people, because it's so personality and ego driven, there's people that are like, oh, we're all friends, we're all family, you do this and you'll end up getting here and these opportunities will open up, and the moment that you stray a little bit from what they expect from you, what they want from you, then it's like, ah, he's dead to me. It's like, it's pointless.
Yeah, and I hate that. It's a little heartbreaking, but it's like, you save your time and effort. Like the other day, I was talking to this girl, beautiful. She's from Europe or whatever. And we had a whole date. She was like, she lived in Palm Harbor. She was like, I live in Palm Harbor. Can you come out towards me? And I go, okay. Cause I had this whole idea planned for St. Pete Beach. So then I choose a bar or I choose a park near her, and we have the date set. And she texts me the next day and goes, would you want to go to Olive Garden? I don't mean to move the mic, but she's just like, she's pretty much saying, can I have a free dinner? Is what she's saying. I was like, no, I could have.
Yeah.
I could have figured out, I could have done it, but I said to her pretty much, no, like, We had, I said, what about the plans that were set? Well, I don't want to be in 90 degree weather. And then I start to, I'm not going to like reveal what I said, but I pretty much said that I'm looking for someone that wants me, not for what I can provide. And then she's like, well, I'm a European girl and I got European morals. I'm like, so dudes,
what does that mean?
I was exactly. Like, yeah, we're not in Europe. We're in St. Pete. So then she's like, good luck with everything. Goodbye. And like last night I matched with this, like older women love me. I matched with this 40-year-old who smokes a lot of weed and is like a hippie. And I was like, that's more my vibe. Like, I'm not against dinner dates if I'm the one that says like, let's do it. But if we have something set and then you go, how about Olive Garden? Especially with the inflation, and you're literally...
That bitch just wanted breadsticks and soup, dude. That's what she wanted.
Exactly. And I said, I want someone for me. And she went, no, I want to have a free meal. And I went, you probably are talking to seven other dudes right now.
Yeah.
You probably didn't even...
You were going to be dinner. The other dude was going to be breakfast the next day.
2, 3, 4 years ago, I would have done it. Been like, yes, I need someone as beautiful as you. Now I'm like, shut the fuck up. You shit in the morning too. Don't act like you're better than us.
Bro, that's so real though, because like honestly, the bet, like first dates should be either just straight up free activities that you can do where you get to know each other. Or if you're going to spend money, you better just be willing to lose that money off rip.
There was a girl I was talking to that, I took her out for sushi on the first date. Then I took her to a pool party on my birthday and I paid for it, but I did it because I liked her. I don't know if we'll ever date or anything. But we keep in touch and we're friends. But what I'm saying is like, that was different because I had more of a personal level over here. Like,
yeah,
me and her smoked on the balcony. We hung out for 6 hours. So I dug her. I dug her from the beginning.
There was a connection.
And then she sat here for 5 hours and we chilled in my apartment. And then we hung out at my pool party. What I'm saying is that's somebody I'm going to pay for. But it's like you've put in effort to get to know me. But when you're just sending me smiles, how about Olive Garden? You probably don't even know which guy you're talking to.
Right.
Come on now. She's like, I don't know. Like, I try not to be judgmental when I say this because I'm 30 and single. But if you're a beautiful girl, like if you're a 10 out of 10, this girl is pretty hot. If you're like a 7 or 8 out of 10 and you're single and you're 30 on a dating app, something's wrong. You should be locked up by now.
Yeah, that sounds...
Sounds a little sexist because I'm single and 30.
The eggs are drying up.
just saying.
No, it's truth, though. I mean, look, I think people are afraid of sounding sexist when they say truthful things like that. But that's just human dynamics. That's nature. That's just how it is. Like men can get away with being single longer for two reasons. One, for the sexual dynamic aspect of it. But two, because men... like have what way a greater expectation of having to like build something for themselves.
And three, Al Pacino knocked up a girl at 80.
Yes. That's part of it. Yes. Yo, is he 80 or is he 90 something?
No, he was 80.
80. Oh my God. Yo, that's
he's on my wall over there. Tony Montana. I love that movie. Dude. No, but I mean, that's the thing. I think that's the most unfair part about dating. And I think that's what really messes everything up is their clock.
Yeah.
I think it's so unfair that like, first of all, they have to suffer every month and go through a period. And we're just like, let's fuck whenever.
Yeah.
I feel like if we suffered a little bit like women do, I think there'd be less of a disconnect. But women just despise us because we have it pretty easy.
I think.
They deserve the same opportunities at jobs and sports and whatever. But when it comes to the body, they have to give birth. They have to go through periods. They have to go through menopause. And they also feel emotions more. We feel emotions more deep down where we hide it. But they go through so much in their lifetime. It's crazy.
I think women have a very different... See, I look a little bit different. I think men and women both feel emotion very strongly. I think it's depending on the individual. But I think men experience and process that emotion in a very different way. Because I think like a first love, for example... I think a man will remain heartbroken and scarred from that for way longer than a woman would.
Typically. Women can just move on the next day.
Right. Maybe not all the time. I'm not trying to make like a blanket statement, but
no, it's factual. It's not false.
It's not false. I don't know if it's every time, but I get what you're saying. But
I would say most of the time, you don't have to be afraid to say the truth. Most of the time, because women are different, because men, 80%. Okay.
I think it's because men have less typically have less choice when it comes to like the sexual market. Like men get whatever they can get and they're happy about it. But then when they actually get invested in somebody and then it goes down the drain, it feels like a lot of time wasted. Where, and then they have to rebuild again. Whereas women can just go on to the next guy easily because they have the advantage.
I don't even view it as like time wasted. I just view it as like, what was that all about? You know what I'm saying? Like you go, almost a waste of time, but you're like, it was all for nothing. All the trying to impress you, all the, and it was for nothing. It was for absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And I think what happened was a lot of the previous generations just were in these loveless marriages for 50 years because they just wanted to do it for their ego. Specifically, families. Specifically, Italian families love that longevity.
Yeah.
And I think we're learning the hard way that they just either cheat or fake it.
Yeah, well, like previous generations, that was the expectation, is part of your life. You were looked at as a failure if you weren't married, if you didn't get married and have a stable job and supporting kids. And
at this age that I'm at, my dad was the father to me.
My mom,
he was cleaning my diaper. At 30, my dad got married at 29. I've been in two relationships where I thought I was going to get married. One that I was engaged and one that I wish her the best. But like literally my mom was the first woman he really dated. Mm. And I've...
See, that's the thing. Like back then, I feel like people put a lot more time and effort into relationships instead of just jumping on to the next person. Because I feel like that story of getting married to like the first person you dated, your high school sweetheart, et cetera, is way more common with like our parents, grandparents, and beyond. Whereas nowadays it's like, all right, you date with this person, they pissed me off one night, I'm just going to break up with them.
Let me give some of my 30-year-old wisdom. Because I do believe that even if you are a little bit older, you just know some things that people don't know because of your experience.
True, yeah.
You really got to listen to what the girl says first 90 days you're dating. So for example,
they're going to be giving away their intentions, their
thoughts, for example, if you're dating a girl, I don't care how hot she is. If she's never been single for more than 2 months in a row and just keeps going through rebound relationships, at some point she's going to dump you. Now, if she's someone that dates and then refines herself and then dates again, you might have a chance. But if you're just a rebound and... Cause like with my ex, it was like, she started dating people in 2015 and then was never single for like 2 months. And I wish her nothing but the best. And I learned a lot from her and it's fine. But I'm saying like, I should have saw the signs that I literally started dating her and we became a relationship a month after she just dumped or the other guy dumped her. And I'm not trying to like talk shit. Cause I truly wish her the best. I want nothing to do with her, but I'm saying like, gentlemen out there, if you're noticing that she goes from relationship to relationship, or she talks bad about her exes, or talks bad about her father, she's gonna talk bad about you. You're not anything different. Mm-hmm. You're just another dude that has a penis. You're just another dude that gives her comfort. I'm not trying to be rude, but it's fact. It's literally fact. If a girl tells you, oh, I hate my father, always be on eggshells.
Yeah.
Just knowing, just know that you're gonna become one of them.
Yeah.
It's just a fact. And also, you really got to see them for what they are early on. I feel like a lot of times we feel like we won the jackpot. We're getting laid all the time. We're showing off this hot girlfriend, almost like it's an item and it's like
a trophy.
It's not really the person.
It's like where the term trophy wife comes from.
Yeah. And here's the problem. The problem is all of a sudden when you start posting about it all the time, and then that person leaves, then people are like, what did he do wrong? Because she seemed so perfect and they weren't there for it. So you got to really listen to what she says. Because
then it ends up reflecting bad on you.
Yeah. Because then it's like, because here's the thing is they tell you everything about them within almost the first date. And there were a lot of things that people in my past have told me that I should have overlooked, that I did overlook and I should not have overlooked. And I was painting a picture in my head of what I wanted them to be. And they were not capable of being that person because they're not that person. Mm. I wanted them to be something that they weren't.
Yeah.
That's why.
And I've been, I get what you're saying. And I've been on both ends of that because I've definitely been the guy who got attached to somebody too quickly and saw, I only saw what they wanted to present to me and see deeper. But I've also been the other side where I was the one projecting something to keep somebody interested in me, and I couldn't sustain that. And it ended up breaking apart because I was trying to be somebody. I was trying to project the characteristics and personality that I thought this person wanted in me. And that I couldn't keep that going.
And the other thing is, like, you really got to be real with yourself.
Yeah.
If you feel like there's a red flag, break up earlier and get it done. Don't wait.
Save the trouble.
Also, gentlemen out there, I'm not saying you have to wait till marriage to move in with a girl, but I've lived with both of my girlfriends. My last two relationships, I've moved super fast. My last one, I was living with her after 3 months. Now, granted, it was COVID and everybody wanted to have fun after 2020. Then I had my relationship in 2017. She moved in after 2 weeks. Like, so I was crazy in my 20s because I was like, you're getting laid all the time. She's hot. She's your best friend. She's your vibe. She's your one and only. She's your ride or die. That will fizzle out at some point. You got to be more mysterious. I was an open book. I was on the biggest radio show, so everyone knew everything about me. Now I'm a little more low key where I'm like, I'm almost more anonymous. Like, I post when I need to post. I'm almost like a ghost on the microphone. Like, I just kind of, I post and then I leave.
You're a ghost on the ox, one might say.
He said it.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was just changing the name. I was doing my own version. No, you gotta be careful, guys, because the worst part about heartbreak is no one gives a fuck. You'll be at work, and it's coming from personal experience, because I know guys talk about it, but they don't want to talk about it because they're so macho. And you just start going, I'm never going to be with that person again. And you're thinking, and then you're at work and everyone's projecting that they're happy. And then you're like, oh yeah. And you're smiling. And you're like, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah.
Weirdest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, I got single the same day that Tom and Giselle broke up. It was weird.
I actually don't know who that is.
Tom Brady and Giselle.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was weird. I was like, huh, this is the end of an era. You should never try to emulate your relationship after a celebrity.
No. See, I don't follow celebrity stuff very closely, very much, at least not anymore. Like, I follow certain stuff if it's really big and it, like, kind of seeps into my timeline and stuff like that. But, or if, like, friends are talking about so-and-so, I don't really keep up with it very much. I don't follow a lot of mainstream shit.
I do it because it's easy to talk about, because it's not going to cause controversy.
Yeah, so, you know, that actually kind of leads me into a good question about radio. So, like, because we were talking earlier about, I feel like radio doesn't want to succeed, doesn't want to grow.
I don't know what radio wants to do. I think it's afraid to succeed because it's like, then they have to either pay or they got to invest time. They're so cool with just playing the same 20 songs.
I hate that.
I don't even mind it because it works, but it's just more radio, all these conventions. All these companies are like, why are we competing with Spotify? The cities and the companies that invest in their talent succeed. There is a place for radio. But if you're just half-assing it, you're going to get half-assed results.
Do you think it's a matter of sort of like pulling the ladder up from underneath? Like, they climb the ladder, they got to a certain level, and they pull it up underneath them so nobody can reach them, and then they stagnate?
Yeah. It's a lot. Own your own work. Like, even I was looking at this podcast network that was going to like broadcast my show to all these different platforms, but it's everything I'm already doing. Learn it on your own. Go to Spreaker, do it yourself. Cause then this guy, he was going to have to like co-own my show. And I was like, no.
I use SoundCloud as my RSS feed host.
It's not bad. Yeah. That works.
And then I just pay the one fee from there.
I'm not an Anchor fan.
I don't know Anchor. I use SoundCloud to generate and host that RSS, and then I put that onto Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and then I didn't even have to do it. Google Podcasts shows up on there on its own for some reason. I don't know if somebody went out of their way to do it, or if Google just crawls the web and finds shit on their own.
Apple got really hard to submit to, like,
really?
10 years ago. I'm kind of grandfathered in because Spreaker did it for me in 2012, 2013, but now you gotta like have the right like pixels for the photo, and you gotta type up a whole thing.
That's a whole thing, dude. For me, I didn't have trouble getting on to Apple, But what I did have trouble with was the pixel thing with the logo.
Garbage. Do it yourself.
My logo still does not show up correctly on Apple
Podcasts. It won't update my logo. I've updated my logo like twice.
Yeah.
Apple will not update it. Spotify will update it after like 2 minutes.
Right. Spotify updated automatically based on what I put on SoundCloud because it's attached to the RSS feed.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts still has my placeholder logo that I put when I first started the show.
It's literally
me on my iPad. I just wrote on a drawing app, logo coming soon. I just wrote that and put that as the thing. And I updated it with my real logo, but they won't accept it. They keep telling me, oh, has to be this dimension. It is. It's the file you want. It's the dimensions you want. Yes. And it just won't, I don't know. I went back and forth with the support team like 4 different times.
Oh, the worst. The
pain in the dick.
Absolute worst, bro. Apple's not even a place to be. Spotify's the place to be. Apple died like about 5 years ago.
I think SoundCloud still has a little bit of a little bit of momentum because we're not in that like, we're a little bit out of that SoundCloud rapper era now.
Yeah.
But even though it's not quite at its peak anymore, it's still moving because like a lot of the local musicians and stuff that I am familiar with that I operate or that I interact with, a lot of them still use SoundCloud as like their main place to upload their music.
Oh no, there's a place for SoundCloud for sure.
Yeah.
You'll never hear me hate on SoundCloud.
Well, since we have to wrap up soon, let me ask you, I'm going to get into like our final, my final question here. You already said that you don't believe in like God or any of these things.
It's fake.
Have you had at any point in your life, have you had any paranormal experiences?
No.
Any interesting visions?
No.
Any UFO sightings?
No.
Any, you have nothing?
I don't believe in any of it, but it's all...
Not that you have to believe in it, but have you had any experiences that you can't explain?
No, but I'm seeing a lot on Facebook. People are like talking about, oh, I just saw a UFO, and it's the thing that SpaceX does. You seen that?
Yeah, the blue like streak thing with their
once a night I hear people go, I just saw it, and I'm like, no, it's Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Calm down.
It's the Musk alarm.
No, it's just annoying because people are like, I'm not saying they're uninformed. People so badly want it to be real that they like force it. I go, no, that's just Elon Musk. I don't think aliens are what we want them to be. I think sci-fi has just built this mindset. Like even that pointless alien rally like 4 or 5 years ago.
The raid Area 51?
Yes, that's dumb.
I thought it was a funny like
it was
cultural
a good,
moment.
Yeah, because
it also didn't accomplish anything.
Well, it was just fun looking back on it because then COVID happened.
Yeah.
So it was like the last fun like representation of youth.
And now I'm waiting for that to like finally come back around, something like that to happen again.
But people would just be offended by it. Aye, bro.
Don't misgender the aliens.
How do I word this? Because I have to be careful how I word things. Your show is so different. It was like a morning zoo. There was like a lot of laughter back in the day.
Yeah.
And now you have like a whole professional setup. It's fascinating.
Well, I mean, I've upgraded a lot.
No, you have. And you grew up.
Yeah, I grew up.
That it was bad before, but it was more
amateur.
It was very wacky. Now I'm like, damn, I have a whole professional setup here. It's better than mine.
Well, if you saw, here's the one difference between now and like right now, this episode that we're filming right now.
Yes.
And other episodes I normally do is normally I do have, it's not normally a one-on-one. It's normally I have a co-host with me or a couple of friends with us. It's a bit more of a variety show, but you know, I'm not in my element. I'm not at home with all my people. It's just you and I.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but I've done a handful of episodes like that.
I had no problem having you come over. I was like, this is the easiest. Cause I sleep in. I have a really bad habit of sleeping in. So I just was like, I didn't want to like promise to meet you somewhere and then be really tired.
Yeah.
I was like, just come over. Let's just do it here.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I got you.
But it is about that time for you, huh?
Yeah. It's, I'm doing 4 podcasts today. I did your show. Then I'm doing my show with my old co-host, David Pezza, who's back, and then doing my show at 5 with Pharaoh, and then I'm interviewing a female rapper named KP Eleanor at 7:30. So that was why I slept until the last minute today. I was like, I need my rest.
You need that rest. You need that mental energy.
Oh, yeah, it's
like,
a lot.
Because like, I don't know if I could do that many shows. I've done I think the most I've done is two shows in a single day. This week I've done four shows in like 3 days.
I've just noticed when you delay things and you push things back, you don't get the results, but I'll probably get a lot of listens because you're putting out work. It's tiring, but then when I see the listens go up in the next few days, I'll be like, it was worth it.
Yeah.
And it's not rocket science. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah. True.
You did a really good job, man. I'm proud of you.
Thank you very much for that. We'll talk a little bit more after. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up here. Thank you for listening, everybody. Ghost in the Ox. Follow on Twitter, Threads, Instagram, also Patreon. You can ask us questions on the Linktree page, Linktree/Ghost in the Ox. Send us questions, real or fake questions. We'll give you real and fake answers. Thank you. Bye. Wash your hands.